Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you're here today. You have not left us, but you have set yourself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead, and all enemies are being placed under the feet of Jesus the Christ, who was a man like in our form, though different from us, we must admit, and we are grateful that he was, or his work would have been in vain. But now his work is completely propitious for us. And we are so happy now that when all things are placed under him, all things are placed under us, because we are one with him and have been granted to sit in the throne even as he has sat down in the Father's throne. We are thankful for that this morning, Lord. We know it is not some pipe dream. It is not some promise that cannot be fulfilled, but it is a promise even now being fulfilled and shall be to the consummation. So we're grateful for that. We're thankful, Lord, that the ends of the earth have come upon us, even the ends of the ages. We know in whom we have believed. We absolutely do, and we have a persuasion that has not been here before. The men have felt they were persuaded. We know that persuasion was not of God. It was something that they added to, which we're not against. That's all right for their day. But this hour, when nothing can be added to and nothing can be taken from, proven by a vindicated prophet, a messenger sent from you with your own backing, as defined in the Scripture, we know that which is perfect has come, and that ends that. And we're grateful for it, Lord. We don't have any doubts anymore. We don't have any worries. We just have this one purpose in life, to recognize the position and privileges we have in you and to give you glory, which glory you're worthy of. Now be with us in the study of the Word and all things that are said. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to just bring to your attention the fact that Brother Branham mentioned under the fourth seal that the pale horse and the rider of him which was death, he mentioned that all things were poured into him. Everything was poured into him. And that is true because in the original Greek, the horse is brindle. Brindle. And brindle is a combination of the white, the red, and the black. He's a brindle horse. Now, what I am bringing you up to is the specific quote that Brother Branham gave me for the Church Age book, which was, there'll be a repeat of all diabolical cunning concerning the enemy of our souls, which is Satan, because he's the enemy of the kingdom. Now, at the same time, remember that all that was poured into the church, which was what was God in Christ, is now in the church at this hour, completely as that which had come through seven successive church ages, and I showed you on the board back at the other church how that worked, which we'll do again later on. We get it on the blackboard here. That it's all now in that capstone. The Holy Spirit himself is here. Elohim is here. The Almighty One is here. Like, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, how can that apply to Jesus the man? There's no way it can, because he was not the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he was here in human flesh, and he died upon Calvary and rose again, in a flesh that is not the same, so he's not the same. So what he's talking about is the fact that he said, I am come in my Father's name, which is Jesus, Jehovah's Savior, and it is God who is the same yesterday and today and forever, in the fact of the revelation through the ages of 6,000 years, seven church ages or seven ages for the old and seven for the new, he has never changed, no way, shape, or form. Well, pardon the expression, I shouldn't say no way, shape, or form. I was referring to the intrinsic God who, in changing his form, did not really change his form, but he put on a form, is what he did. So, we're looking at that fact that all that was in him is in the church. Now, this being the case, there is now a confrontation between Satan and Christ. Even before the enemy is incarnated in a man. Now you're going to sleep on me. Don't get a far away look or I'll come and hit you the 4x4. And see, we're not fooling. Because what I'm going to tell you now is so serious as to jar you, and you be ready for it. Now, under the seventh seal, Christ comes down to earth, and He, in revealing Himself, is working in and through a bride. And this is to bring her into the resurrection and into the rapture, which He will do. Now, at this time, there comes into existence chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verses 7 and 8. Well, we could even go a little further, beginning at verse 4. I thank my God always in your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and knowledge. Now notice where the enrichment is. Do you see where the enrichment is? Utterance and knowledge. Now do you see why a stream of man says, presence, 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 I'm sick and tired of presence? Don't come to me with that nonsense. Okay. Listen carefully. Keep your fingers there. I'll read it for you. Malachi 3. 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon His name. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Utterance. Knowledge. The fear of the Lord and understood His name. Why? Because Elijah turned the hearts of the children back to the fathers. You understand what I'm saying? All right, you're increased in rich. You're made rich. Hold your finger there. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 16, so then because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I spew out of my mouth, because thou sayest, they're talking, I am rich. You're liars. Only the bride's rich. Increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, and you are not enriched in your utterance. You are not enriched in your knowledge. You don't even know Him. The church fell from its knowledge of the Spirit, which is the true God, Jesus, which is the Christ, and the delineation, which is the gospel and the preaching thereof. She's shot. But you're rich. You're rich. You're clothed. Your fornications have been wiped away. The shame of nakedness is a carnal knowledge which is illicit, which is the type of idolatry and false doctrine and denomination. You've anointed your eyes in utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. In other words, there is a confirmation now. And watch where it goes so that you come behind in no gift. Anything which God can bestow upon you waiting for the apocalypse. You're waiting now for that genuine revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking down the road. Who shall confirm you unto the end that you may be blameless? No guilt and no fear in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is going on now. Now, here is the tragic thing I want to warn you of. In the state of this blamelessness and this state of the knowledge that we have, are you listening? Now, I'm very serious because I know what I'm talking of. This was brought to my attention a while ago, and it's already coming in phone calls. The devil will flip one over on you. That you will do something that you know you're not supposed to do, and you'll have no feeling of guilt. And it will inspire you to become rebellious to the proper conduct in the life of a Christian. You're in the devil's trap. Now, it's already happened. We are too simplistic here ourselves this morning. And I know that within us we feel we can get away with certain things because they border on the line of legality. But they have nothing to do with grace because they swing to eternal security. They're both wrong. Neither Arminianism or Calvinism right, neither legality or eternal security. So what I'm telling you this morning is that at any time we must be careful now. And though it was truly said by a minister that the deep teaching is fine, but we must not let these other things slip. Although I agree with that, it was the way it was put that the deep teaching isn't the secret. The deep teaching is the secret. But the warning is to watch out lest you and I become enticed. To think we can do certain things which we know are not there to be done, and they will be done, and you will not have a feeling of guilt. Now, this can come general and widespread to almost anybody who comes in and around this message. But you will know that you are a true believer by the fact that you will shun these things. And you must keep yourself fortified by prayer. And it is my purpose that as soon as we get the building done, and we'll talk about it, and we want this done in a hurry from now on. I'm not here to crack a whip, but I'm telling you we're going to get it done and get it out of our hair. And I want everybody to work just a little hard, a little more overtime, rather than Bill and Brother Evans and Lloyd coming in the best he can. We're going to have to get this done because I want more round table talks with you, and I want more prayer. Because it's too late. We're not looking down the road 50,000 miles in 50,000 years. It's now. See? And I've already told you that I had been aware, and a brother made a phone call, and I said, yes, my brother, let me tell you, I am aware of it, and it is already happening. And I was going to address our church on it, and I am addressing you now. And this is part of the tape which may go out. Last week's will not go out except you people who want it. And I would suggest that you would be wise to hear it again because there are many things in there that have been said that you ought to know that may put you right as John said, this is the message which was from the beginning. And anybody that says he loves God and shies away from the revealed word does not even know the love of God. He knows nothing of the things of God. And like Cain, he will rise up to destroy you. And my name is being bandied a matter of 35 to 40 miles right from here because I have taken a stand. And let me tell you, if I am going to get it, you are going to get it. The very fact that you have association with me will be very rough on you. Not my association with you. That doesn't mean anything. Except in one way it does. But I've become the target. For one reason, I believe that he is here. From what the prophet said, William Branham would be an unmitigated liar, an egotistical maniac. To have said what he said, if he only meant what has been preached by Pentecost in churches so thoroughly, the Puritans and those through the ages have always said, he is here in the form of the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us. That is not how he is here today, though he is here that way and has been for 2,000 years. Elohim himself, the Father amongst the children, is here. He has taken headship to lead us out and to lead us in. And they deny it. If you're not ready for what's coming, I'm telling you how to get ready. It's going to require the astuteness that comes through the revelation of Almighty God, the constant presentation of this Word, of how to submit ourselves to Him who loves us and rebuke Him who hates us. And the greatest rebuke Satan will ever have is just standing with this Word. Because Jesus said, it is written. Remember, Satan came at that day to the sinless one, and he said, why don't you do thus and so? And he said, it is not right to tempt the Lord God. And what I'm talking about this morning is serious, because it becomes a tempting of God. Right. In spite of the pillar of fire, as Israel marched through, they rose up against God. They wanted their own flesh, their own ways. So you hear me this morning. You profile that in your mind, and remember, we are here at the end time. We'll talk about things we want done in the building later on, but I wanted to tell you that. Now we're going to go back to the message on loving or loathing. And of course, I'm going to cut down on what I said last Sunday. I'm going to read, however, beginning in the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter, verses 4 to 9, and then we'll go into the body part of the message in order to give you some thoughts I have, and it will be lengthy, but we'll try to cut it down. Numbers 11, 4 to 9, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Notice the mixed multitude did not comprise the entire bunch. When we say mixed multitude today in a mixture, we talk of it as one lump, but you'll notice this does not do it. They had neither part nor lot with Israel. They were mixed. They were there tagging along. They said, don't you dare try to eliminate me and make me not a part of this message. But they weren't counted. Displeased the Lord. The Lord heard his anger kindled. So on. All right, the mixed multitude, fourth verse. Then the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now notice the influence of the mixed multitude. You know, you got to be careful. Brother Branham said to me privately, it's men like so-and-so who keep my true ministry from coming out. He said, I don't believe a true ministry can ever be stopped from a prophet coming up. I got news for you. Jesus did not many mighty works because of unbelief. Amen. I'm going to go as far as to tell you with the gift that I have, and I do not aggrandize it, neither will I lay it down and become a fool for somebody, because I'm a fool for Christ. My ministry was short-circuited over yonder. That's why I'll never go back, even near the building. Because I may never preach what God laid on my heart to preach to you of His glory, which I consider one of the greatest things God ever revealed. I may never do it. Because my ministry is cut off. I'm telling you this morning, don't think the mixed multitude cannot influence you. I've got a witness of a brother here this morning, and nor more than one, who said, I was in confusion by what went on. I believe that brother is as full of the Holy Ghost as any man I've ever met in my life. And there's as much one of this Word as any man I ever expected to meet in my life. But he was confused. I wasn't confused. For one reason, I know the Scripture. The only confusion I had was, which way is it going and what would be done about it? And I walked out. It holds good to any group of people, I would walk out. Mixed multitudes. Don't think they can't influence you. You'll start wanting the same things they wanted. Mixed multitude wanted its own board to elect its own members. I'll never get to preaching, so forget it. But I'm talking out of my heart this morning. Because that's the only way to talk, you'll understand. You may say, Brother Vail, let us elect somebody. You will not elect anybody except the men that I put forward. You'll vote whether you want them the same as I want them. You've got confidence in me or not. I will have an elder. I will not have a man who calls himself a pastor anywhere near me. Because nobody will cut my feet off. And if you want that man, remember one thing. Lee Dale does not stand here ever again. I'm not threatening. I'm just telling you flat. Because, you see, I know what a mixed multitude can do. And I'm not accusing anybody. I'm just telling you from my own experience that this Bible is right. Brother Brown said, many good men will never believe because of preachers. I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about you. It's mixed multitude. Yeah. And they said, who shall give us flesh? We remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlics. Now listen, there isn't one thing there that I don't like. Have you ever had quail? I like spruce grouse and grouse better than quail. But I don't like them when they eat pine buds. I like them when they get on the farmer's wheat and chop down the wheat. Oh, they are so delicious. Man, I could just leave you here and go home and try to find me a quail right now to warm up. Quail are good, too. Yeah, fish. I remember the fish in Canada that came out of those cold waters. But don't try to get me up to canned deep fish, forget it. That's one place you won't catch me. I remember it says they got cucumbers. I like them, especially those long green ones. They're the burpless kind. Mix them with the onions, the leeks, and sour cream. You can't have cows in the desert. The best you can have is goats. I never heard of sour goat cream yet. What I have heard, but I don't think I'd like. Garlic. I love garlic. Some people, this is spiritual. They want to go back to everything the old organization had. At least, brother, there we had this good feeling. Well, I got a good feeling without that. All I got to do is to think about him and he's here and what he is to me, and I'll grin like Jack Bell's mule eating buckberries. I can't help it. But now as our soul dried away, there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes.
Yes. Yes. Logos, logos, logos. Pidgey, pidgey, pidgey.
I'm derising. What are you expecting me? Kiss the Pope's toe? You gotta be nuts. Might as well play tango with the devil. Nothing against the Pope. Got pretty good popes these days for a change. One guy said of old John 23rd, it didn't pope. Luther would still be in the church. That's exactly right. Exactly right. The Catholic Church will never go back anymore, and the Protestants go back. They'll look back in history and admit their mistakes. We better not have any mistakes, brothers and sisters. Because perfect has come, it's finished, it's polished. Can't add and can't take, you better be right. Your ball of wax, it better be pure wax. And the manna, it was delicious, like coriander seed. I better bring some of the good stuff, you can taste it. The color of delium. I don't know what that is for sure, it could be any color. This is kind of a resin. The people went about and gathered and ground it in mills and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste was like the taste of fresh oil. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Manna. Numbers 21. 5-9. 21, 5-9. All right? And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have the two of you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there water, and our souls loathe this like bread. Heavy, heavy, heavy. They wanted something heavy. Yeah, something heavy. Too simple for them. Now you keep this in mind when we get to John. The Lord sent fiery serpents and so on. Let's go to Psalm 78 and let's get what the prophet had to say about it. Here's a prophet speaking in the voice of God as to what was there according to what God saw. 19th verse 8, they spake against God. Now let's go a little before that. Verse 12, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the land of the field of Zoan, divided the sea, caused them to pass through, made waters to stand as a heap, in the daytime led them by a cloud, night with the light of fire. So you keep warm at night, cool in daytime, warm at night. How do you like that? Well, we're worried about this building right now. Too hot in summer, too cold in winter. They had it made and didn't even know it. You talk about a bunch of jackrabbits thinking they were sheep. Could be we got jackrabbits now. How do you like that? Clothes don't wear out. Didn't even need to take a bath. Still felt good. Armpit. Well. No. No. Sound good. What do people want anyway? Clave the rock and the wilderness, gave them to drink as out of great depths of, oh, beautiful, fresh, delicious water. Brought streams out of the rock, made a river to flow. They sinned yet the more by provoking him, the provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. They spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, the waters gushed up, the streams overflowed. Can he give us bread also? Can he provide flesh for the people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. Hold your finger. We're going to take some finger exercises this morning. We're going to go back to Malachi, the third chapter, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard them. Okay. Back here. And the Lord heard them. And he was angry. And God said, they shall be mine. Set the Lord a host in the day I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between righteousness and wickedness. For the first time you'll understand all about Cain and Abel. For the first time you'll understand about worship. For the first time you'll really know, because you're going to go right back to the beginnings. Right back where the tree of life was, that under certain conditions you can eat and never die. You're going to immortality. He was wroth. His anger came up against Israel. Notice a fire kindled against Jacob, the old supplanter. The anger came against the princes of God. Because they believed not in God, though they said they did, they lied. Trusted not in his salvation, though he commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them, and given them the wheat of heaven. Man ate angels' food. He sent them meat to their fall. He said, well, if you don't want it, what do you want? I'm going to tell you something. You pull that on God, he'll give you what you want, and you'll die for it. The Bible distinctly says that he gave them their desires, but he sent leanness to their soul. I'm going to tell you, you reject the presence of God, you watch how lean you're going to get in your soul. You begin trying to work this or work that apart from his presence. In other words, you and I, if we do not dedicate and consecrate ourselves, the word is really consecrate, and the word consecrate means to come with empty hands and say, Lord, will you fill them? We got an idea. Consecration means go to the altar, beat on the altar, say, oh God, I give you my wallet. Oh God, I give you my purse. Ah, shat! Stupid! Ain't got nothing on it. What I want to do is give you, open your hand. Turn them down. Man never changes. Unless God changes him. Okay. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven by his power. He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust. Feathered fowls like the sand of the sea. Let it fall in their midst. Of the camp. Round about their habitation. Remember down in Egypt he rained lice. Rained flies. Yep. So they did eat and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came on them. Notice, their meat was in their mouths, their denominational hogwash, their own desires, their own refusal to talk what God said, talk about. We're making a big mistake. The devil has crept in among us, even though I was warned to God personally and I warned you personally. We are all heir to it. We're talking too much about the negative. He told me that I would miss this whole thing, but you see, like that, he brought Eve to Adam, and he said, Adam, he said, you are going to fall afoul of me because of her. And Adam said, beautiful, she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she is woman, she's my wife. And he took her to his breast and made that imprint there which never faded. God said the thing to me, he said, I want your mind continually upon what is for the bride, and what's for the bride is him who is the Word. Don't even look out there, that other church. But I've been doing it. And I expect God in mercy to use a 4x4 on me. To hit me so hard on the back of my head, my brains will splatter. And then hopefully he'll pick them up, but what if he doesn't? We have no right to have the other doctrines in our mouths or anything else, but it's the continual understanding and expression of his presence, the manna, which is in the form of the enlivened Word, in which is the Spirit of Almighty God. The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Leaders. Says he smote them. God told me the day of Ananias and Sapphira had arrived. I don't know that if that's for me or somebody else. You say, Brother Bailey, you say, God tells you a lot of things. Why shouldn't he? Can't he talk and can't I hear? When does the Scripture say, I, the Lord God, am deaf and dumb? Upon my hand there's not a thumb. Upon my feet there's not a toe. I neither do nor do I go. I'm stupid. Nothing lies within my will. You can sit there still as still, but nothing will I do for you, because I am deaf and dumb and blind. Is he? Don't be ridiculous. He talks. And the voice that John heard was conversational. The way out is the Word. Because he's indwelling his Word. John 6:45-69. I love the book of John. 6 chapters and 8 chapters are really beautiful. Beginning at 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Wrong translation. All thy children. The children are always taught of God. God is his own prophet. He is his own messenger, which is an apostle. He is his own teacher. He's his own evangelist. He's his own pastor. Give him a chance. That this is found in earthen vessels is not to be sneezed at. or dislocated or set to one side because God warned. His brother Branham said if he'd have sent an angel, they'd have listened, but he sent a man, and they said, who's Moses? And Miriam said, yeah, I changed his stinking diapers. He ain't so hot. If it weren't for me. And the church says, come into my doors, I'll put your name on my book, and I'll take you to heaven, they'll take you from to hell.
Amen.
Fact. What nonsense and stupidity. Thy children, the bride's children, the children of Sarah, New Jerusalem, not Hagar, shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. In other words, he starts right out with the process of letting you know there is a God, and he's dealing with your heart personally, and that personal voice of the Holy Spirit will bring you right to Jesus who died for you. Because he's the mediator, he is the gate, he is the door. The Father's name is only in one gate or one door. Not that any man has seen the Father save he that is God, he which is of God has seen the Father. You know, Jesus was the only one back there in the theophonic body who actually could see God without a veil. Evidently, that's the way it was. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man eat thereof and not die. Now notice he says it, not die. Now they're already dead. They eat this and don't die the second death. Yes, sir, they shall not come into the judgment. The rest of the dead live not again for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy at part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they'll be priests of God and king unto him eternally. Now he's telling you, you eat that manna, you're going to make out all right. This is the bread which come down from heaven, the man eat thereof and die not. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, and I will give for which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said, verily, verily, say, except eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Who eats my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life. I'll raise him up for the last day. Now notice what he's saying there. That's in the first resurrection. My flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, and he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna or did, and he that eateth this bread shall live forever. Now he's telling you right there in two voices of the two resurrections. There is one resurrection that the remaining people on earth, absolutely eating that bread, will never die. This is the same as in John 11. Said, he that eateth, believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. There's two groups of people there, and there's two groups of people here. See? Now, there comes a time when the Word, inspired or inspirited or filled by the Holy Ghost, that's your baptism with the Holy Ghost, will get you out of the grave. But there's another time when that same word for a different hour, he that liveth shall never die, will absolutely cause you that you will not die. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm anxious to cross over because I know I'm going to get away from it all. Oh, glory to God. You talk about peace of mind and body and heart and soul. I just want to get away from it all. Because I live under the diabolical tension of all the ages come down upon us. I lived right today with the lusts of my fathers for all these generations of 6,000 years of my parents are in me the same as in you. And with it, I've got all of my own problems that I compounded. And I know there's a land beyond the river. If I can just get out of this dimension, I'll explode into waves of glory. And I want to get out of here because I'm going to be the same Lee there. Now, I'm not trying to be the Apostle Paul anymore, or David, or somebody else, or William Branham, or God knows who. I don't understand why people want to be somebody else anymore in the light of the fact that we can just cross over and be ourselves. I want to be me. You know that old song says, I want to be me, I want to be me. Well, I want to be me. I don't want to be somebody else and cross over there. Who needs it? Pat, wouldn't that be great? I should be here all the time and be somebody else. Hogwash! No, see, you guys still got your complexes. I don't have any complexes anymore. See, you know what I'm saying? He's dead in one part of my brain. He turned around. You say, well, how'd you do it? I care less. Look, if there's suddenly a beautiful diamond here, 10 carats, and I could sell it for $1 million or two, do you think I care less how it got here? Or I might wonder, well, especially in an uncut form or something, not that somebody dropped it here that previously owned it. And even then, you might have a hard job getting it from me. See, what do I give a rip? See, but he did it. He took away that complex. All right. Many, therefore, disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard thing. Who can hear it? All right, he's here. You're not going to die. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself, disciples turned, he said, does this offend you? they were offended. What if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? You know something? You and I have never seen the pillar of fire. What if the day were changed? And then it's not necessary for him to be here any longer. What if suddenly that pillar of fire begins whirling amongst us? It's already whirling now. Every single bride is being drawn into the cyclotron of the atom changer. Now you think we won't see it? I believe he will. See it go up. No, don't stand and say, I missed it. You ain't going to miss it. They'll take you right up after him. He'll be pulled up, don't worry. Brother Ben mentioned that chariot of fire coming down and gets you. But anyway, what if we saw him taken up? Why not? Why not? It's the spirit that quickens, the flesh doesn't profit anything. Now see, where's your praying and all your fasting and everything else going when you talk about this? But when you talk about something else, then praying and fasting is legitimate. There's nothing you and I can do about certain things except believe. The certain things that you and I can do contingent with various aspects of our lives, we do. But what people don't understand, what I am preaching is this. He is here to do what you cannot do, though you beg him, you cry, you sob, you're willing to go and kill for it, you're willing to die for it. It doesn't do you any good unless you elect him, he's going to do it for you. Now, see, that's what we're talking about. But people don't want, then people deliberately don't want to understand. I'm saying they deliberately don't want to, and I mean it. You know why? Because they fight it. Now, when you fight a thing, that's deliberate. If you don't understand, sit back and watch. I told you that people would get three reactions and four from the way I preach. Now, I'm not, okay, let's get this flat. I'm just about finished on the road. I don't want to go back on the road. And I'm just about finished preaching to you people. I don't want to preach anymore. You know what? I got nothing against you. But you see, for me to say these things, I don't want to say them. I don't want to talk about me. But I can't talk about you because I don't know what's happening to you. How would you like to be like Eliezer? Oh, Lord God of my master Abraham, I don't know you, but I do know that he knows you. Don't you think he'd like to know God like Abraham knew? Well, look, the only man who could talk like Abraham was Abraham. The best Eliezer could do is say, hey, But he said, you know, funny thing, she got pregnant anyway. Yeah, they got turned back being young again. Now he said, I can tell you all about those two people and their wonderful son. Because I'm out here to get a bride for him, but he said, oh man, he said, I wish I could tell you about the one that did it all, but I can't do it. That's what I'm telling you. I can't tell you anything. Any of what happens in my own life. If it's God, I can't prove it, but I'm telling you things.
Now you see why? I just do not preach anymore. I'm going to be that mule gone to pasture eating those buckberries. I'm going to sit and grin. Oh, God, get me off the hook just 1 year. That's all I've asked God. Just get me off the hook. I don't mean to die even. Just get me off the hook where I can breathe one breath once more. And I'm going to look through that window and just grin. Put a little green tree in the backyard so the red birds can come and eat the seed that God will give me the money to provide for the birds. Now, of course, that's not going to happen. But I wish it could. Now, the spirit quickeneth, the flesh doesn't profit. The words I speak are spirit and they are life. You believe that? The people don't believe that. Oh, they say, well, Brother Branham, Brother Vail, Brother this, Brother Sproul, Brother other, Brother, that they believe this message and you stand on a vindicated word. You're saying, but that's not the same. It's the same word. And if it's God's word, that word is alive. See? Okay. Chinese have chocolates. Where in the world did that come from? Chopsticks to pick up rice? Oh, why not get a fork? It said, they take the bowl and they whirl and say, whirl a little ball, whirl a little ball. Italians want to take the spaghetti. I just take my knife and fork, slash, slash. It tastes every bit as good, and in fact, it tastes better to me because I love to just pour my food down. I'm like, yes, yes. A little bit of noodle. Where did those ideas come from? Let me tell you something. Those ideas were no longer ideas or words when they became a reality, but they're pretty dumb in my books. When God said, let there be light, there was light. Now, there's a word for this hour that's no longer a word. It is life. That is not some dumb idea. It is God in reality. Logos. Oh, we heard too much of Logos. I wonder. I don't know. My wife and I have had some tough times. But I tell you, we're so close, I don't know how she's going to do without me and I without her. Now, I think maybe she could do a lot, get by without me, but I couldn't get by without her. And you say, I don't think that's really true, but it is really true. Because God could never manifest himself outside of a bride. But the bride can't get along without him either. See, I don't understand people. I don't understand people. I get too much of my wife? When? I don't understand. I don't understand. Marriage has been good for me. Been very, very good for me. Still good for me. This is good for me. This is a union, invisible union with the Word. It's very good for me. I have a bit of trouble. Except myself. I don't understand how people look at this. And they don't understand that in the flesh there is nothing. It's everything is in God, but God is going to work it in the flesh. He didn't say there wouldn't be a utility in the flesh. He didn't say that, let's face it, it's never going to come to a place. What he said, it's got nothing in itself to bring it to a place. Except chaos. But you let that spirit invade that flesh, it becomes a temple unto God. Now, God temples himself amongst the people. There's light. There's some of you that don't believe, he said. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. Sure, he knew from the beginning. There are several beginnings in that one. Who should betray him? Therefore, I said unto you, no man can come except given to my Father. From that time, many disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, from that time on, now listen, when the word that he spoke was spirit and light. See? That's the time they went back. they always go back from the word of the hour. The Lutherans went back the minute Wesley came with the word. The Wesleyans went back the minute Pentecost came. And Pentecost became the chaff and died when the wheat buds of the bride of this message formed, because the life is in whatever is the word of the hour, which is the bride. For she's the Son of Man manifested in flesh in every age. Went back. And they walked no more with him. And Jesus said, will you go away? Now here's the acid test. You say you believe this. Now comes the showdown with the nitty-gritty, when God begins moving from the phenomena of calling out into the phenomenon of calling in. Now, anybody can come out. But everybody can't win. For there's a mixed multitude with Israel. And all Israel's not Israel. Some are Jacob's a planter, and some are princes, and the whole bunch can get sort of messed up, because as long as you're the flesh, you got a problem. I got a problem. Will you go back? Now here, Simon said, Lord, to whom should we go? Thou alone hast the words, not miracle, not power, words of eternal life. We're hearing what will give us eternality in the realm in which we want to proceed, because we already have a bit of eternality, which we're born with. If we don't get back to God, we'll go to the lake of fire. Now, God can't annihilate himself. No, can't annihilate that seed. He's got to redeem it. Or let it sit there for billions of years, till eternity rolls by, and eternity never rolls by. You got the word eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Brother Branham categorically said, I know who my Judas is. Judas says, yeah. He knew who should betray him. All right. So, that's the background. We get into the thoughts as we tried last Sunday, start with number one. The number one thought we're drawing from the scripture we read is the 11th chapter of Numbers again, the 4th verse, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us meat to eat? Now you see, God wasn't doing it. And they wanted it. Here is where faith can force the hand of God, or constant demand of bombardment can force the hand of God, and it'll kill you. Prayer is not you forcing God. Prayer is you getting under the force of God so that God can work His will in you. It's a big difference. The mixed multitude had come out of Egypt, was comprised of three kinds of believers. In other words, his whole group had three kinds of believers. Make believers, unbelievers, and true believers. Israel coming out by the prophet and pillar of fire to go in to Canaan's land is the type of what has come out of Babylon by the prophet with the pillar of fire to go up to the wedding supper and then into the millennium. It was the make believers who knew something was there but could not place it that caused the death from that which is below. And they took that which was from below, which was the flesh of the quail, over that which was from above, which was the manna. Now, we read over here in the book of James, the 3rd and 4th chapter, how that there is something that is certainly from below, and there is that which is from above. And they got confused in it. All right. This man, James, is saying, verse 9, the tongue is unruly. Therewith we bless God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Now remember, God heard their murmurings and destroyed them, and God hears the people at the end time and loves them. Now let's understand this. Well, that's not hard to understand, is it? Now come on, listen very carefully. Jog your minds, because I'm responsible for you, but my responsibility ends if you don't listen. Now you got to listen. You understood what I said. It was their murmuring and their talking that brought condemnation, so it is their speaking at the end time that brings commendation. Then what in the world are they saying? All right? One group is fully amenable to the Word of God and says the Word of God and knows the results thereof. And they're patiently waiting. Remember I preached on the time of the resurrection, Ephraim will not wait for the firstborn to come out of the ground. People right today cannot wait for that first resurrection. They're all, oh, Brother Branham's got to come back. This has got to happen. That has got to happen. We will do this. And we will just shut up, will you? Just shut up. Because out of that mouth is coming speculation. Pure speculation. God is not interested in your speculation and my speculation, for who shall teach him? What came the word of God out of you, or did it come unto you only? If any man thinks he's full of the Holy Ghost or a prophet, let him say what I say, said the Apostle Paul. Now, there's a group that's condemned, there's a group that is commended. All right? Okay. Does a fountain bring forth sweet and bitter water at the same time, same place? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear all the berries, or a vine figs? So no fountain yields salt water and fresh. Now that's Matthew 7. That's the false prophet. Let's go back to Matthew 7. These are the guys with signs and wonders, but they're off the word. Verse 15, beware of false prophets. They will come to you in sheep clothing, but inside they're ravening wolves. They have every physical aspect of being a wonderful Christian. But they're off the word. What is this stuff about the presence of God? Is he still starting something and going around the world with this thing about the presence of God? No, Leeville hasn't gone around the world. How many places did Leeville go last year? Let's figure it out. Last year I went where? Shack Bells. Buffalo. Toronto. Across to Columbus. I went around the world. Where was it this year? Shack Bells. Bob Brown. Toronto, Buffalo, Erie, Columbus. That's the number of men. I've petered out. How many weeks altogether? Well, I loafed down south, so you can't count anymore. But down south in Jack Bell Church, I preached what? Well, I preached 1, 2, 3, 4. I preached 6 times at Jack Bell's in the meeting. That's the year before last. This year I preached what? Wednesday and Sunday, I guess. At Bob Brown's, I didn't do too much preaching. Count the number of times. How much have I preached? Hardly any. Okay. Now, this has to do with the Word. Who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good behavior his works and meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envies and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now notice, watch it, because the first sign that occurs with any dissension that pegs who is right, that man will tell lies. Now I ask you a question. You see why I left the church? All I needed to know once more, lies were being told. I walked out. Forget it. I'm not wasting my time. Don't tell me to. Don't say, oh, Brother Bill, be nice. You be nice. You go to hell. Sure. Don't tell me to be a jackass. I preached this years ago from Ephesians and warned you that the first evidence of a man off the word is a lie. That's back in the book of Genesis.
It's horrible not to get to preach. You're supposed to preach that amendment.
Okay. 63rd of Isaiah, verse 8. And he said, surely they are my people, children that will not die. So he was their savior. The first thing God saves you from is the lie of the devil. Then you never lie again either. I'm talking about a premeditated lie, not some little lie with your hand in the cookie jar. Or some little answer, oh yeah, I think you're a real brother, and you want to say quickly and get out of his presence because you know down in your heart he's a skunk.
Amen.
Look, I'm not up here as some legalist trying to tell you goody-goody gumdrops and oh my, you hold your mouth just so that you could, all you could eat is little green tea. You could drink, oh, you know. You open your mouth and eat a rutabaga. Swallow a cabbage. Open your mouth wide and God will fill it. I'm giving you scripture. You think I'm just kidding you. I'm not kidding. I'm telling you some things that are worthwhile. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sends your devilish.
Hold your finger. Go back to Genesis. See if I can find this. I think I can find it. It's got to be in chapter 1. Okay, verse 24, chapter 1. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Okay? That's not what happened to Adam. Earth didn't bring him forth. God brought him forth and put him in earth. What was the sensual wisdom of Cain? To take the word of God without revelation and attempt to worship and live thereby. And then he told a lie. And he became a murderer. All right? For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work.
Right.
Now, I know you're saying, just a minute, Brother Bale, that you don't understand what it is these guys are all messed up and they're doing this, therefore this comes. You don't understand. Eve got off of one word, and this is where it came from. These are symptoms of unbelief. These are attributes of sin. Sin is unbelief. But the wisdom which is from above is pure and peaceable, gentle, easily entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's the word of God. That's the man of the kingdom of heaven. Not the man of people who live on the creeds and the dogmas and the old religions, the leeks and the cucumbers. Don't you understand, brother, sister, when the life goes out of the word, it is finished? When it is fulfilled, the life has gone out of the word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one word of mine will pass until it's fulfilled. And when it was fulfilled under Luther, it's gone. Under Wesley, it's gone. It was fulfilled under Catholicism, it's gone. They had their place. But they were here first. That's why they're the deadest. Every Protestant church came out of Catholicism. And they're dead too. They had their places. Now the Catholic Church looks back and says, oh, if Pope John had been there instead of Leo and Tetzel, Luther never would have left the church. That's exactly what they said in the days of Jesus. If we had been there, they would not have killed the prophets. And he said, you're the same corruption they are.
Amen.
And he says the same thing today to the Protestants. Where is the Smiths under the, and the Camels under the Christian Church and under the Methodist Baptist Church? Where is the Wesleys and the Fletchers? They were in the Wesleyan Church, Methodist Church. They're gone, and they're born again. There'll be large numbers who are in the Catholic Church, I believe, in the first resurrection. But they're gone. Pentecost is gone. And I'll tell you, if this isn't the end, we'll be gone. Life always goes up. And it starts at the root. And it starts moving up, the life in the seed. And notice the grain out there. You never saw that corn yellow in the leaves until down below. You never saw the wheat yellow at the top. You saw it yellow at the bottom, the life going up, up, up. And then you saw it formed. And the very seed that went in the ground came back in a multiplied form. And if this if Israel's in the homeland, this is the hour of the resurrection. That's why that word is being fulfilled today. But the life is out of everything, but those that are standing here in a certain message, you talk a certain way. I don't care what anybody says. This Bible says it. No, you don't have to believe it. You see, I wanted meetings. I wanted a meeting on Sunday, then get together on Wednesday, then get together on Friday, and come then and say, hey, we really got it this week, then we'll go to the next point. I'm tired of talking to people and watch their eyes glaze over, their eyes drop in their face, avert me. I'm tired of hearing people giving me the wrong word back. And say, Brother Bill, oh, come on, come on. We're to the end of the age, Brother Sister. Either we know the word or we don't know the word. We know God or we don't know God. I'm tired of Chris. I want the face to light up. Halloween's coming, honey. I want them jack-o'-lanterns, you understand? With the candle inside. Oh, you say, Brother Bale, I understand that the pumpkin is the head with everything scooped up and just the light inside. Yes, you got it, honey. Sweet pumpkin heads this morning. Your brains are gone and there's been a candle lit inside of you. Call the light of God. Oh, that makes me feel good. That makes me feel very good. Yes, sir. Shoes to feet. Yes, sir. I got shoes to set my feet a dancing. I'm shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yes, sir. All right. Now, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Do they not come from your lust and war in your members? That was in Israel. What was it? Turn down God. Turn down the word. I don't care what comes out of that. They kill the snake. You want any more snake? Here, look around. Hold this down. Look, Brother Evan said, I think it's on the tape, or in meaning, I'm not sure, he maybe told me, might have been on a tape, but I think it goes like this. He said, look, quote, this makes me feel very good. Although, don't worry, Brother Evans, there are those that don't believe you got anything. I said, Brother Evans, the other day, I said, look, I said, there are those who think you're a fool for trusting me. There are those that think I'm a fool for trusting you. Let's try to be fools for Christ's sake. And join in our folly. Join in our folly. Now look, he said, look, if you fall into adultery, we'll pick you up, dust you off, set you on your feet and help you, but you get off that word, forget it. That's what we're talking about this morning. You wonder why my patience has run out? You give me one reason to have patience with that which is off the word. If Adam had looked Eve in the eye and said, look, I love you. You're a part of me. But I got to leave you. And he couldn't do it. And he lost everything. The man that carried life put it in that carrier and blew it. But he didn't because God brought his back. You lust and have not, you kill and desire and have, can't obtain because you fight in war. You have not because you ask not, you ask receive. Not because you ask amiss, you may consume it upon your lust. Notice right there. He said, look, back there in the wilderness, why didn't you go to God and say, Lord, go to the prophet and say, hey, I'm having a problem. Now, I know there's something to this. Because I see. I know there's something here. I'm having a problem. What can we do about it? No. They just went on their own. They didn't care about God and the revelation, the prophet standing here proving everything. Now notice he said, you adulterers and adulteresses. Now that's what he called them. Now they weren't out there committing physical adultery. They were doing those things which are typed in the physical wrong relationship. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enemy of God? And Brother Branham said, one word off is the world. That's exactly right. What else is it but cosmos? Otherwise, why is thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Then give us this day our daily bread. What daily bread? Quail, onions, leek, garlic. Man shall not live by bread alone. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is that bread that came down. Give us this day 7 days, seven church ages. Give us the word of the hour where Christ is alive. Now listen, this bypasses the resurrection, honey. This is why my revelation of passing over there is so cute and so keen that I don't have any fear. I just want to get there because I don't even think of death.
Oh, no, listen. You don't think the devil will let me get by with that statement, or he'll try to bug me. Just bug him right back. Preach all the harder. All right. It says here, do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth through envy? In other words, don't you know that if you're truly born again, there's something in you that comes against that? And why are you playing footsie with it? You made a marriage vow. And why are you looking after other women to have intercourse with them? And mess up. That's what he says here. Invisible union going on by the word. Sure. Oh, man of sin from heaven. Number 2. Numbers 21 and 5. Numbers 21 and 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt down to us? Now they're saying right now they've been, and then they said to me, well, brother, there, your meetings are dead. I don't find them dead.
Amen.
I can go to Pentecostal meeting and walk out nauseated. I shouldn't, maybe, but I can. They can walk in this dead meeting where Lloyd is eating a songstress and I'll start to cry. Now, I'm going to tell you what's very easy now. Now, Lloyd beat up and say, now, I'll tell you what, folks, let's all clap. Let's all run, 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 run. Let's all throw our hands up. Do it. Let's all scream. Do it. Tell him to cry, Lloyd. Pass the onions. Little tear gas. Tell him to cry. Tell them to soften their hearts before God. Just tell them. Won't work. Won't work. You're dead, sir. That means you're dead, Brother Dan. Here's a going llama. When I was trying to set the church in order for a certain man on gifts of the Holy Ghost, because Brother Branham had taught me well, not only on taste, but with private interviews. Yes, with private interviews. Well, he said, Brother Bailey said the meeting would be dead. I said, are you trying to tell me Brother Branham's meetings were dead without the gift? He blew it. He blew it. I'm not trying to get rid of gifts or anything else. Set them in order. But this, your meetings are dead. Well, what would you like? Ha! We want this in Pentecost. A new patch on an old garment. Wine and old goatskin. See what I'm talking about? That's what it is. Got a controversy with God. The controversy with God is, Lord, there is no such thing as you really fulfilling your word of the hour. What it is, the word has always been there, and blah, 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 shout, 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 mock, mock, mock. Haven't got enough brains to shut up. But they know there's a word for the hour, but they want to deny it. You know why? Because they, oh, we always had them. We always had them. We've always had them. Have you really? Oh, maybe, but not in this way. They got mad at God. All right, the make believer and the unbeliever cannot actually stand the spiritually revealed food of the hour. Eventually, they will rebel and lead others astray. They will cause division and hardship and judgment. As Jesus said to them, he said, there's no place in you for my word, but you're standing here as though you got a part in it, and you're fussing when you ought to just go down the road yourself and leave me alone. Now notice those Pharisees could not leave him alone. They knew something was there. And they said, what are you? Well, he said, I told you. No, 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 no. We don't take that. Well, he said, if I'm going to deny what I say, then I'm a liar just like you. Where does it put me? That's what he told them. Told them flat. Oh, they said, now just a minute. He said, now you just a minute. Let me tell you something. He said, you cannot hear my word. There is no understanding in you because there's nothing in there to get it. Mixed multitude.
Right.
Israel, not Israel. He said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. And he said, you're not Abraham's children. Ishmael, Abraham's seed, but not child. So he was in the loins of Abraham. Let me tell you something. There were billions in the loins of Abraham. With the male ejaculate, the sperm, so small, 15,000 goes across the diameter of one hair. It'll go miles into space if laid end to end. One male ejaculate. But only one reaches the proper egg at the right time of the proper one to bring forth the child of God. God's computer like mine. Absolutely amazing. Now listen, crows will eat dove food. But when the smell of a rotten rabbit reaches their little bitsy nostrils, the dove food, presence, and I'm not saying anybody is a crow or anything else, I'm just saying the reaction that comes out, and it can happen in the mixed multitude, it can happen to Israel, it can happen to anybody, so you watch your step. You can sit here and say, we have heard enough of the Logos. Have you? When His knowledge alone will transform you, you're telling me you don't care for the first resurrection. You don't care to be in the bride. You tell me exactly what's in your heart. Because you can't help yourself any more than I can help myself. Now, if you're silent, that's your tough luck, I told you. I'm one place I can preach in this place here until the heavens get mad. They get mad, I'll give them $5,000 to bulldoze it down, set it on fire. It's yours, I guarantee it, put it in the bank for you. Not fooling. Not fooling. If you think I am, you're wrong. Jesus in John 60. John 6. Many therefore disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? That's about eating the bread. Jesus said, already said, I know you're murmuring. They're murmuring out there. Does this offend you? He said, all right, what if I follow it up? Right down the line. From that day, disciples went on back. They couldn't take it. But those stayed with him because they said, this is that word. And all he gave them was a word based upon a vindication. Now, he didn't say, look, I'm going to stand here and prove this thing that I said. He just said it and they believed it. John 15 and 24, find them the works of the man, did they not sin, but now they both sin and hate both me and my Father. People say, well, I don't hate him, but the Bible says you do. See, John 10 and 33, the Jews said, we're going to stone you. And he said, what good work you stone me? He said, we don't stone you for good works, but you being a man, made yourself God, that's blasphemy. Well, what is a prophet anyway but God to the people? And if a prophet was God to the people, what would God in human flesh be? He'd be a man too. Because that's all he could be. He's got to be in somebody. Now back in Numbers 16, 1 to 3, we saw the princes rise up against Moses. Notice the leaders. Who came against Brother Branham at the end time? The same as the Sanhedrin did. The leaders of the congregations came against him. Here is seen a repudiation of the message and the messenger. See? They couldn't take it. Jesus said to them, he said, I and my Father are one. Absolutely. Now, remember John 3:16-21 says categorically that there is no such thing as a Savior outside of a revelation of coming to the light. I'm just putting these together hasty because I did it last week for you. Now going to 1 John. Remember, John runs all the way through from the Gospel right to the book of Revelation. You can't change it if you tried. It is one man with one voice, the voice of Almighty God. And here's what he says. The 11th verse of John 1 John 3, and this is the message that you heard from the beginning. Now that's what he said. Now he's not talking to the disciples, he's talking to you and me. And he said, this is the message you heard from the beginning. Now, that you should love one another. Everybody said, wonderful, we'll love each other. Then I should love the devil. Then I should love Cain. That when somebody wants to give me, I say, here I am, come and kill me. I'm here, come and kill me. He said, persecuting one city, fly and flee to another. You know, we got such kooky religion amongst us, beclouding your minds that it's pitiful. Everything you read today, you translate from Brother Branham's message and this word from your past experiences, which is a bunch of hogwash. How come Jesus didn't let himself get pushed over the brow of the hill? How come he escaped out of their hands?
Aren't you one certain now?
Here I am, here I am, here I am, come and get me, did he say it? Hogwash. Now that you love one another. Now it says, not as Cain, who was that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now listen here. It is a religious war, and it's always been a spiritual war. Every physical war is nothing but a spiritual war come to head. Now it says right here that Cain's works were unrighteous, they were evil. What was that evil work that made him mad at Abel, whose work was righteous? Worshipping God is what it was. Why did they kill Christ? Because he worshipped God in a manner the Israelites didn't want. Why did they kill Paul? Because he worshipped God in a manner they didn't like. And both said they worshipped God. And Jesus said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but you're not his children. Who is my father? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? You understand what I'm saying? When you get to love, you better understand what you're talking about. Not some wishy-washy hogwash, because God Almighty hated Cain, and he hated Esau. Oh, I'm better than God because, you see, I'm going to love my enemies. What enemies are you talking about? You better understand exactly what he's saying here, so you know which way to act. Now, he's telling you right here, the message in the beginning is this. There is a message, and that message gave a revelation. And the revelation caused a division. And the man that was wrong, though he looked right, killed the man that was right. Now, what's love? Love of the Word. Enough love where this man would die for the Word. And Abel stood right there. And he said, the revelation says blood before first fruit. I'm sorry. And Cain says, it is first fruit regardless. Because there is a resurrection, and I will be in it. And Abel said, yes, but without the blood. It's a resurrection under condemnation. And he said, who is condemned? I have no guilt. I have no condemnation. I am all right. He turned down the blood. And when his brother stood there, he killed his brother because God accepted. The pillar of fire must have come down and, and eaten up the offering, which is what it would do. And Cain stood there and he was condemned. So let's put our priorities exactly right. Love, when you're dealing in love here, you are not dealing in a wishy-washy sentimental thing. You are standing with that word, and that love of God will drive you to your death. But I'll tell you one thing. The man that kills you, you will not curse him. That's all. The man that abuses you, you may have to turn your other cheek. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you again. The man that could be in this room this morning that's not here to verify what I'm saying. And I've told you before, I was in my study when Brother Richardson was here last July about. I was down there before the Lord God, and a voice spoke to me and said, you are going to take all the blame. You will write the letters and make the phone call to the preachers that excoriated you because I went here because of the pastor, Ray Bingaman. I said, God, name the name and I care less. You do what you want. I went upstairs and I cried. I was so upset. I said to Brother Richardson, I said, yeah, Lee Vail, the dirty dog, the illegitimate. He's to blame, yeah. So I'm not to blame, but I'll write the letters. I'll make the phone call. I went downstairs to write that letter, and the voice said, that's not the end of it. He'll fire another letter right back for another apology. And you apologize the second time. Gene Petrie came by. I showed Gene the letter, and I said, he will fire another letter back for another apology. I've got the letters in my desk. I've got witnesses. I'm not lying to you. And the letter came back. I wrote the second apology, which I didn't need to apologize because I had done no wrong. But I took the place of the illegitimate for a man to rip me up one side and down the other when you can't even talk to an elder like you treat him as a brother. Yeah. And the voice said to me, you know what it is now, when that letter came back and I wrote the second letter, you know what it is now to go the extra mile. I hear this. And he said, I've made you an instrument of judgment in my hands. I'm telling you that this morning to get you to know what's in store for you and how you're going to react if you act right. You will take the low place. When people turn on you, they'll turn on you in this message. They've done it already. Cain and Abel were twins. Now get this fact. I'm not talking about Pentecost or anybody down the road. I'm talking about now. I care less what goes on in denominations. I care only one thing. Everybody says believes Brother Branham's message, does not believe it or believes in his own way. Now, I paid a price to stand alone, and I paid a price that none of you all together have ever paid. That's why I'm not understood in the churches around here, because I paid my price and no one else has. I left my wife months at a time without sexual intercourse or anything else. That was the least of the worries. The big worries is, what is she doing for living? What are the kids getting on that table? Where am I going to go trusting God step for the step? A meeting I had with Brother Branham, though this was after the kids were away from home and we were on the road together, my motel bill was $36, my offering $33.33. I have stood there with no food if necessary and no place to go, and I stood there and I stood there. You could get jobs, you could do many things, but you never stood where I stood. Now that's why I say, don't anybody talk back to me. Because when you've stood where I've stood, you talk back. In the meantime, you keep quiet and listen. And I won't have any young preacher wet behind the ears. I did what God said. You understand what I'm saying? You'll get it. You better know what love is. The standing of this word. Because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart today, you will love the Word with all your heart.
Amen.
I'm not saying you'll obey every bit of it. I'm not saying that, but you will try a lot of obedience here. But now look, he picked up a rock and killed him. And if you think I wasn't killed that day after that phone call, you know what death is. I said, you don't give me a church. You don't give me anything. You make me illegitimate. All I got was a big sneer. But the same man later said, Lee Vail is the same old guy. He's going ahead. What happened to you?
Right.
Keep your roses and give them to somebody else. I'm not interested. Not vindictive, not interested. You're going to pay a price, kid. That's what these meetings here in this house are all about. I can't preach to somebody else's place. I'm talking to you. And I'm not waiting for the crowd to get bitter before I talk. Those that miss, miss. If you're playing horseshoes or something else, some little game, tiddlywinks, that's your business. I'm talking to you. You're here. Next Sunday, I start moving on. No meeting this Wednesday again because it creates a mess. Next Sunday, I start moving on. And I start moving into the points of why he is here. But this lets you know something. That we're not fooling and there's a reality. And I'm not trying to produce anything here except the Word, which God Almighty has enlivened. And he said, brethren, marvel not if the world hates you. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. All right, what do you think of that? What's the earmark? Worship? What caused the first fuss here? How can I preach one to God and I know there's only one God and one's a man? You know why the man said I was preaching to God? Because he's Jesus only. That's all. Now the next comes along and I'm preaching too much of him, that if you don't see him, you don't get changed. And you don't see him unless you're told. Because hearing is seeing. Brother Branham said, I tell you what your natural eyes don't see, but mine see by vision. I tell you. And when he told me, I saw. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what bliss is going to be? No, it's bliss now. Okay? I'm not defending myself. I'm telling you reasons why. Look, I can defend myself. Don't worry. Number three. The number two showed you how hate started and how love started. Number three, John 6, 54 and 58. We're going back to the gospel. I'm not against the emotion of love and all those things. I'm trying to show you there's something in here that you and I have that no one else has on the ground of a revelation of Almighty God. And it goes right back to the garden. And you can't talk of love unless you go back to the beginning. You see where it all starts. That's why it tells you that people at the end time are talking a certain way. And you'll not be comfortable with anybody but talks that certain way. You'll have more and more in your home.
Told you, never thought I'd be encouraged at the day I start preaching my wife's sermons and beginning to preach her sermons with nobody else around. Well, she ain't getting hurt by it, really. Except she's a little deaf and I got to yell out.
John 6:54. Who's eaten my flesh and drinks my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He eats my flesh and drinks my blood and dwells me and I in him. The Father sent me, and I, the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread that which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. Now he told you two things, the same as he told you in John 11. There are those who will die having eaten and be raised again, and there are those who eat at a certain time, they won't die. Now get used to immortality. Do you know there's a book written by Dr. Lamb? Get used to immortality? Because he thinks he's going to get a pill to make him live for 100 years. Fully on the pills. Reducing God to a pill? That guy's a pill. See? All right. Now, what I said has been background. We took that last week. Now we're going to get up in the last half hour. We should be able to read my notes and get you out of here, hopefully. Now, all this has been background for the subject of can we be born again and loathe Christ being revealed unto us? Can we lose our appetite for the revelation of Him and His presence and the spiritual ingesting of it and substitute something else for it? Can we view and peruse something other than that, living one, amongst us, and esteem the substitute to be greater than the one in whom are all things? Can we be fooled that the part is greater than the whole? Can His gifts and His goodness and outweigh Himself from whom all things proceed? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. For when they knew God as God, they glorified Him not as God. And one day turned to filthy animals and said, this is my God. And when they were led out of Israel with the pillar of fire and the prophet and the mighty works of Almighty God and the thunders and the roarings, and they saw God as people had never seen God in a group before, they said, big as calves to get us back to Egypt. So can it be done? Yes. It has been done and it's being done. It has been done for 6,000 years and being done now. Let us not be so smug as to think that its seeds are not amongst our churches, ready to blossom at the first watering of one rising amongst us. You say amongst us, how else could it come? For the Scripture shows us in number 16, absolutely they were there. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And in Acts 20, 22 to 31, Paul called the elders and he said, amongst you sitting here shall rise up perfidy and perfidious people who will deceive the ones that they minister to. Don't be afraid to look at ourselves and judge ourselves. That's true. Remember what James says. There is a wisdom from below that won't work. But there is a wisdom from above, which is the Word of God, which is God Himself. And remember, the Spirit of wisdom comes into the church in this hour. And they say, who needs it? That's what they're saying. Who needs it? So what? They don't understand. But we have to understand. Now these words I have spoken so far are not to arouse suspicion or to point a finger, but teach what I feel, and not only feel, but know that there is a very grave danger to get an overload through the constant reiteration that the fullness of the Holy Spirit is here. That the same Jesus in spirit form is here. That Messiah, who is Christ, who is Logos, is here. The constant pointing to Him and delineating of Him has already turned some people who are called last day believers aside. They can't take it. As one man said, I tune Lee Vale out. Are you tuning me out this morning? Go ahead, you're the loser. It's your tough luck, not mine. You say you're mean. Why should I be mean? What makes you think I mean when I warn you and exhort? Brother Branham said, I pry their mouth open and pour in the medicine. They spit it back in my face. I'm not having as good luck as he had. Or good results, you might say. You see? The attitude being he is here, so what? Now, That is tragic. For they might not even know it has happened. Yeah. Let me ask you, did the Corinthians realize they were already in the death grip of 2 Corinthians 11 and 4? They were no longer virgins. Do you know that the doctrine of the resurrection was preached amongst the Corinthians and was denied? And Brother Branham stood there and said, I tell you, he's here! I'm not riding in that trail screaming, he's coming. He's already done coming. That scream is a shout, because when men scream, they shout. And the shout is that one which came down. The Lord himself descended him with a shout. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse about 16 or 14, somewhere in there. But in Revelation 10, 1 to 7, he came down. That's the shout. He's here. See, let me ask you. Did the Corinthians know? No, they did not. And in Hebrews 2 and 1, it puts it clearly. Now notice in Hebrews 2 and 1. All right. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. That means flow by unnoticed. They talk about two ships passing in the dark. Let me tell you something. Man has to be in darkness to miss this passing of Jesus. They sung, Jesus is passing this way. Jesus is passing this way. Let me tell you, he's not passing this way. He is here. They're letting us slip. Sure. They're missing it. What about those sleeping virgins? Did they miss it or did they not? They did. But oh, the tragedy if one should let the revelation slip away or lose an appetite for it. What if they lose an appetite? Let's go to Hebrews. Beginning at 6 and 1, leaving therefore the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now he says you've got to leave something to get there. You've got to leave something behind. Now you say, just a minute, do I leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ behind? Absolutely, you leave it behind, as God said, leave it behind. Well, you say, my goodness me, how can I do that? That's deserting the Word. That's doing this. Just keep quiet and listen. You see? Okay, now watch. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now it tells you right there, that faith of repentance toward dead works, here comes a time when it's gone. Here comes a time when faith toward God is gone. Now listen, he's talking in terms of a certain hour of perfection. Look at, when your bill is paid, you no longer send in monthly payments. You know, I belong to AARP, the Prudential Life Insurance Company. We got for us old boys that need a little bit of help, me and my wife. Okay, I bought one policy. Then they said, here's another policy. And then they say, don't send any more payments until. So I don't. Now I'm going to go to a third policy. And they say, don't send any more payments until. So I stop. So therefore, when number two policy comes, I don't pay premiums on number one. You're about $6.95. Number two premiums are up to about $15.25. Number three is going to be $32.55 for each one of us, $62.50 a month. For my insurance policy, that'll pay almost every single thing what Medicare doesn't pay, so I care less. As long as I got the money, it's worth me. But you see what I'm telling you? When this quits, you do something else, but you don't do it until a certain hour. Now it says this, when perfection comes, something stops. Now, have faith toward God. In other words, you can't have faith toward God for this. The doctrines won't do it. What is that laying on of the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, eternal judgment, and resurrection, eternal judgment? Now it tells you that this won't do it. So don't try to make it do it. Now it doesn't say that these things die and they go away, where they're entirely useless, where they don't have a principle and a place, but it says that this time it doesn't work. Oh yeah, I've been going to dentist for years. Oh, the best dentist, I'm just pretending. The best dentist in all the world. When nobody could save my tooth, he said to him, I'll go out there, I'll ask about all of them. But oh, this dentist was so good. Hey, he was marvelous. He had the answer to everything in my mouth. But one day, I got appendicitis. So I ran to my dentist. And he said, son, it feels like a toothache, but it ain't. See? Dentist doesn't do anything. Now the dentist will do me good to get a toothache again. The dentist will do me good, and I want my dentist sitting there. But this, I'm going to tell you, I want a surgeon that knows how to do appendectomies because I got appendicitis, right? That was just perfect this time. But I don't say the dentist is gone. He says you can't use the dentist at this time. See? That's what we're saying. None of these things will... Now, they're all legitimate. They're necessary. You have to have them. They're extant. But...
It won't work.
Won't work. That was the perfect time. Now, he said, this we will do if God permit. But what if God didn't permit? Then you just keep on with these. And you don't dare look for a time. You don't dare say this is the time unless it is the time. Now then, you see where I preach, where I preach? And my feet get cut off by preachers don't know what I'm talking about? And why I'm going to preach here with an elder? You bet your sweet life. There'll be nobody using me on a string for a yo-yo. Nobody's saying, well, Brother Vid, you're not a pastor. The authority's got to come from the pastor. But use me as a pastor. I say, you're a prostitute. I got a lovely wife. I say, my wife, dear, let's get this one thing. You never sleep with any other man but me. But tonight, I can get $200 for your services. Don't tell me. I'm not telling you. Don't try to cross. I'm not your yo-yo. I'm explaining this morning. Not fussy. I'm explaining this morning. More should be here to get the explanation of why Levi'll ticks the way he ticks and why things will go the way they go. And they're going to have to go this way because they'll not go any other way. I just walk off the field goodbye. I go look out my window. By the grace of God, pray for the people. Say one more word, forget it. Now, either William Branham lied or he didn't lie. When he said, where am I get laid? This will do if God permit. But God did not permit, but there comes a time when God must permit. Now listen, and he tells you the hour. It's impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. It comes at the time of the once for all enlightenment, which means the people in Paul's day were not enlightened. It wasn't that he couldn't. It wasn't that he didn't. But they couldn't get it because it wasn't for the hour. Oh, you go to the secretary and you say, hey, my pension check is due. The September check is due, I know. No, the August check is due on September the 1st. But you know, I'm short of cash. I would like to have it July the 1st. And he said, well, you may like it, but you ain't going to get it. Now, the reason I act this way is because people think they can smart off with God. Once, the last time enlightened. Now your pension check is already there and sitting, but you can't have it. A once for all enlightenment. And they'll taste the heavenly gift. They'll be partakers of the Holy Ghost. They'll taste the good word of God. They'll see the power of the world to come. And they'll fall away. And there's no way to get back. Why? Because they wouldn't come to the light. And there's no more light. You see why Brother Brandon preached the way he did, and I preach to him. Every man then's message will preach this way. I don't care who he is, he's got to preach his way. It says, not if they shall fall away. It says, having fallen away, they can never be renewed to repentance. Now notice! Notice! Hebrews 6, not laying again the foundation of repentance toward God from repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Or they say, you see, Brother Vail, that was laid, and therefore you don't lay it again. Don't be an ass. Wake up this morning. This is to Gentiles. To Hebrews, to the whole body. He's telling them. Now listen, verse 10. This great one in chapter 5 of Hebrews, called an high priest, after Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again that which be the first principles of oracles of Christ, and have become such as one that need milk and have and not strong meat. Everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. That's about Cain and Abel. He's a baby.
He has strong meat belongs to them that are full age. The church does not come to full age till the last one's in. Paul could not give them the revelation of Melchizedek, though he had it, and he taught them they couldn't get it, because it wasn't time. And it's at the time of Melchizedek. God comes down. At the end of the age, God comes down before Sodom and Gomorrah. God comes down. That's the time when all of this happens. That's the time when everybody can be anointed. There's no church that's not anointed, but there's only one with the Word. That's the enlightenment, you see. Now it tells you right here, when that one time enlightenment comes, there'll be no more faith toward God. There'll be no more repentance left. There'll be nothing but child training. And there's nothing you can do about it, because God's going to do it. God doesn't say you don't pray. You do pray. Doesn't say there can't be gifts, but they better be in order. Doesn't say you can't witness and testify, but get this flat. One day, no one will come in. And they'll go through the motions. And they'll look like Christians. It'll look wonderful. Why? Because there's false anointed among them. And they'll say, hallelujah, your life will be changed. And the life isn't changed at all by the seed of Almighty God. It's changed by a false seed. Any church can make good proselytes or believers, and they'll be fine people. But the church of God has a word. I forgot to bring that quote again this morning on walking in the light. I should have got. All right. 1 Corinthians 13:9. That which is perfect has come. We used to know in part, but we don't know in part anymore. And Paul says there's a part here. But when perfection comes, everything stands still. There's no more to learn. When those seals are opened, that one came down. And it's all over. I'm not saying people can't be born again. I'm not saying you can't have faith toward God. I'm just telling you something. That won't work anymore to put you in the resurrection. Because this is the hour. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish. Back to the tree of life. Righteousness, known from unrighteousness. He that serves God from him that doesn't serve God. And a people talking a certain language to each other that God hears. And he said, aha, here's my bride. So I see a sweet little girl. She got to be pretty as a picture, just really nice. And I said, that's the wife I'm going to marry. And like Cole Porter sing a song, when I tell them, and they'll never believe me, that I'm the man one day whose wife you'll be. They'll never believe me. That from this great, big, wide world you've chosen me. See? And the man sings that. Jesus sings of his bride. And the bride sings back. She says, well, he may love me so much, but I think really I'm in Dutch. If I tell him the truth from my heart, because I don't think he's so smart. He's not so lovely and brave. Oh, no. In fact, he's kind of naive. A little mispronunciation there. You see, I'm in love with the boy down the street. My wife would have talked about her old boyfriends, I'd have killed her. I'd have walked out flat. I'm not interested in her interest in anybody else but me. We even have fight there because she's so nice to people. She loves everybody. She kills herself for she'd kill herself for you folks. And I say, don't you do it anymore, girl. You're too old and I'm too old. You take care of me. God is my judge. You're going to have another war in your hands. And we have wars over that one thing. She's going to be nice to me. She'll be nice to you. But she better be nice above all and everything to me and her words. Now, she can fuss at me, but she never does. That's right. She never fusses at me. I fuss a little bit at her. Too much entirely, because I'm a dirty dog. She's not, see? You tell the truth, see? I'm dead. I just will not tolerate, nor neither does God tolerate, people talking about this and about that when every eye should be on him and his presence and repeating the glories and the wonders of him who is here with that solemnity and that sobriety and that seriousness, call it what you will, in the divine presence of God. They talk a certain way. Oh, yeah. See, perfection has come. And yet the appetite is gone. Let's go to Philippians. 15 minutes to go. This will be one of the longest 15 minutes in history. This is not the time that the sun stood still. This is the time that Lee Bill set his clock back. See, I'm honest with you, because I don't want to find you find I'm a liar this quick in the game. Philippians 2:5-11. Let this mind be which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained equal with God. In other words, stay in that area, the golden pillar of fire. But made himself of no reputation. Oh, brother, that doesn't smock you and me down. Took upon the form of a servant, made like in the likeness of men. Didn't say he was made in man, made in the likeness. He had his own flesh, not ours. And being found in fashion, the man humbled himself, became beaten to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly exalted him, he gave him a name that much above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and under the earth, and every tongue that should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now notice, it's placing the Son in the proper perspective of the Father. It doesn't say there are two gods, it says there's one God. See? Now listen, that absolute condition that's laid down here, where God indwelt a man of his making and choosing for redemption purposes. He chose Adam for proliferation purposes. But he chose Jesus for redemptive purposes. To bring them all backwards and Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. Now that's the same one spoken of in John. In the beginning is the Word, and the Word is with God. Now let me take to that. Because I want to read it to you the way it should be written in order to disabuse your mind. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning of God. Now, people say, in the beginning is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just read it with all the bumps and grinds out of it. Just read it simply. In the beginning was God. That's right. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, which is God. Don't try to make a big deal out of it. Just read what it says. Because that's what it says. So you know what he's trying to do is to describe something and get something across by means of words, because we can't apprehend them any other way. Now, all things were made by him. Take that back to the book of Exodus. He made all things. Take it back to Isaiah. He made all things. Now, the Gnostics, who want more than one God, and remember, they're the original idolaters who brought about the Trinity in the first century, they said this one by whom God created all things, because there was nothing around him that he could see, he suddenly thought that he was alone, and he said, I am God alone, and a female voice thundered, liar, hypocrite, you are not alone. There's your Trinity game. Oh, brother, sister. No, that's the records. I'm not lying to you. That's in the scripts, manuscripts. They're found. You can get the book yourself. I read it. Yep, that's one. It's God. Watch again this same one. Ephesians, the first chapter. We've gone it many, many times. It tells you right there in verse 15. Go down to 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of himself. Now, what is that? God's own spirit now will be quickened in you by the one that stands amongst us, so that you will now receive the revelation that even the Spirit of God in you could not give in any other age. This could not be quickened to, I don't care, it's the Spirit of God, it's the same Holy Ghost in every born-again believer from the day one till now, could not be quickened by God until this hour. Think it all. Let your denominations go, brother, sister. If you don't let them go, you're not going to follow Brother Branham. You're not going to follow me because we're preaching the same word. It took me a long time to understand Brother Branham putting a word in each age. I understand it perfectly today, as perfect as I can at this point. Doesn't cause me one bit of trouble because it's the truth. No problem at all to understand that. Now, here he is today amongst us with the revelation. And it's a superior revelation which will do what no other revelation did, because the knowledge has a profound effect upon the knower to bring him into the resurrection. We influence the dead without saying, come out of the grave. We stand there in a certain time. God says, I've heard enough. The record's closed. They're ready. Come out. We get changed. We go up. Now that's just too easy for people to read. Oh, Brother Dale, well, how are you going to change yourself? Will you pray on that? Come on, pray on that with me. Now laugh in your face by tomorrow morning, because I'll be awake and you'll be snoring on the ground. Sure, I'm not kidding you. I can stay awake. Only time I ever blacked out in my life driving a car is because I had some pills and I suddenly blacked out with my pills. I don't black out. I can go 26 hours there and I won't black out. Shall we go 30? I'd hate to do it, but I think we can do it, even my age. I'm going to do it for you. Now, any more than cutting your throat, spilling your own blood, will give you any righteousness. It won't do it, just condemn you. Colossians 3 and 4. Beautiful. When Christ, who is our life, shall be made manifested to exactly who He is, then shall you also be manifested with Him in glory. In other words, you'll know exactly when it is face to face we know as we're known. See? The hour has been proven in which we live. What word? The hour that says, I'm going to separate the righteous and the wicked. I'm going to take them in a rapture. They're never going to die. They're going to live. That's the hour they know as they're known. Yes, sir. We're known as brides. Now, to any man that kills his wife, he ain't a husband. He's just a killer. Remember John, 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and everything that is what shall be. We know when He shall appear, we'll be like Him. We're going to see Him as He is. It tells you categorically that you've got to see Him here in the appearing, or He'll never be changed to go up there where He is. That's in the flesh. To the wedding supper. No way. Okay. That's that one that speaks from heaven for the last time. The consuming fire, the pillar of fire coming on down. Speaking for the last time, we receive our kingdom. This is that hour. We come right back here and take over. We'll forget about the time. We ain't going to have another service anyway. No service Wednesday. We've got to make up for 2 nights. Thank you. That's nice. Bill's a good boy. I love him. There. All right, listen. It says here about Christ and Antichrist. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His presence. Now all the time we used to think, well, He's present up there. Revelation 19, we're present with Him on those white horses, and the blast of the word, the sword comes out of His mouth, and they all fall dead and burn up down here. But I made a mistake. Antichrist ain't there. He's present. So what happens? We all come down. And Jesus walks right up and eyeballs the Antichrist. Hey, what a tremendous day. Are you with me? Is there any glamour in your souls this morning? Is there any joy? Is there something here that makes you rejoice? And we're going to be on our white horses and we're going to eyeball them too. Yeah. You say, I don't think I want to kill anybody. You will at that day.
Amen.
You will at that day. His sword and your sword. You'll tramp on their ashes. Do you squeamish? Now, you better be screaming because you got somebody in mind. You're a dirty dog, you got somebody in mind. I got nobody in mind. I'm just happy we can do it. I'm happy there's victory. I'm happy I can be a part of Him. Sure, I'm a part of this Word. And if I'm a part of this Word, I got to be manifested. Right? Okay, I brought that to your attention because I never did it before. I thought that was too good to go by. And it was. Okay, never forget 2 Corinthians 3:18. It is His image reflected on us that we reflect back so that God and the prophet and the Word and we are all one. Yep. All logos. How is it done? It's done through the ministry of a prophet and the faithful preaching of that Word. And those people say that Word. See? Okay. It's Malachi 3:16-18, which I quoted you. He's going to hear speaking a certain way, and He's going to say, they are my jewels, they are my bride, and they're the only ones that know righteousness from wickedness. They're the only ones with that understanding of true love. The only one that's really got it. Because how can you have love toward any man if you don't have that love toward God first? How can you have love toward the Word and not have love toward God? Works both ways. It tells it's going to be done by Malachi 4:1-6. The great and dreadful day of the Lord is held in abeyance. He is here, and He could draw His sword and smite, but He's here in mercy and love. But Elijah stands there with the Word, and as that Word goes forth, God stands in abeyance until the Word has run its course. Then comes the sword, because the bride's gone. The righteous shall not perish with the wicked. See? Now, as I preach, I can never give Him enough preeminence, although we are to do that. No life of mine can show Him. But if the words in my lips are indeed the revelation of Him, then that ministry of the Spirit within me, gifting me, brings Him into plain view as the prophet said, now we behold Him. What difference if Brother Branham says it, or I say it, or it's on a movie screen, coming out of a sound box?
Because the voice of the prophet is the voice of God. No prophet, no God. Prophet must be a God. Or people want to separate him. They say, well, hallelujah. You see, Brother Vail, those great prophets, God was way up in the heavens somewhere, and the prophet was down here. Ah, shut your mouth. You don't know nothing about the thing at all. God was right there. Just that simple. If he wasn't, then he destroys the whole picture, because that's how it was with Moses. That's how it was with Abraham. That's how it was in the garden. God was his own prophet. And he came right down, and he searched through the bushes, and he said, Adam, where are you? Well, they said, to tell you, but I'm hiding. What are you hiding for? Well, he said, I'm naked. Well, he said, who told you're naked? Well, he said, it was this way. He said, we just didn't do right here. The script prophet said, now we behold him. Now I hope you saw the scripture come together. Israel out of Egypt to go into Palestine, the promised land, load the manna. Couldn't stand the same food day after day. Pine for the old food, their excitement, their garlic bread. You know, I used to work in the BC Electric in Canada. Now, don't think this is throwing off in any race, because it's not throwing off in any race. But you know, the Ukrainians ate garlic. And they would come to that ticket off to get tickets in one blast. And you know, I never saw that show, you know, about the Raiders of the Lost Ark, where the light comes out and everybody melts. Well, that's what happened to my face. About it. Just melt down. You know something? I got an idea today, though. When that man went home and kissed his wife, and she with her garlic bread, it was pretty sweet. Yeah. You eat enough garlic, I think both of you get used to it. Pretty nice. You get used to your creeds and dogmas. That's all you want to eat, and you don't mind everybody eating with you. You share breath, so to speak. You know, you have your conversation. Now, you see, they couldn't stand that new food every day. They wanted some of the old. They didn't like the fresh taste of oil. Do you realize fresh taste of oil means that God is anointing every day, because oil stands for the revealed word by the Spirit? It's actually the Holy Ghost. But he comes in the form of a word. He's got it. You wouldn't know otherwise. Then came the true manna from heaven, even Jesus. They couldn't stand his revelation of himself, so they killed him. Today he is here again. Yes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The Son of Man revealed at the end time. The fullness is here. Elohim is here. All in all is here. And I said, in him is everything in Columbus. And I said, in him is the resurrection. In him is the millennium. What are you looking down the road for? He's here, so therefore it's here. And the man went and said, hey, does Brother Bear really believe we're in the millennium? That's a preacher. Forget preachers once and for all. I'm sick and tired. I've come to the place where I believe that Brother Branham did tell old Sam what you call him out there. There's not that many fivefold ministers. I'm not saying I'm one of them, but I sure am. Or is Brother Branham lied? No man's going to come by and say, I see a flame of fire over his head called the Spirit of Prophecy, and that identified in the Word of God. Now I'm going to go out of here saying I ain't got nothing. I do have something. I have him, and he's here, and he has me. I wish I could say he had all of me. I can't say that. You know my testimony. I got nothing to say about myself, but about him I'll say everything. He's wonderful. All in all is here. They say we loathe it. Can't stand to talk about it. Can't you? Why not? Why not? Any excuse to stay home from church. Anything at all. Doesn't matter. Can't stand to hear about it. How long are you going to stick around? You won't make me mad. You do what you want. I'm throwing down the gauntlet the same as Jesus did, the same as every man's got to throw down the gauntlet. What do you want? Because you're not going to get anything but just talking about him. And he's here, that's all I know. I don't know anything else, I don't want him or anything else. Why should I? See? Satan's a pretty powerful foe. Turn you and me around his finger any day he wants. But he can't turn that word, brother, sister. When you and I become that word in our flesh, how's he going to turn us? You and I become that word in our flesh, it's that God's going to do the turning and God's going to do the making. I'm saying we won't suffer, won't have bad times. I'm saying that, but we will, but it's all right. We're safe and secure in him who is altogether. I'm just about on the dot. Elohim is here. All in all is here. What else can we do but thank and but think and speak of him? What else is there to think of? They say, well, so what? I say, well, what else is there? What else is there? I don't understand their thinking. We are consumed with the love of him by the knowledge of him. Like the songs of Solomon, my soul loves him.
Like the psalmist said, my heart pants after him. How then can I loathe him who is the Word? How can I loathe the thoughts of Logos, who is my God? All I can say is, evermore feed me on this bread of the revelation of the knowledge of him, until I am become that Word in human flesh. How can people say they're tired? You see why I was angry the night I preached on the reflection? I said, I'll not be a yo-yo, I'll not have my feet cut off. You didn't know what I was saying. But I was stopped from preaching on the glory of God. Let me tell you about the glory of God. Do you know that God is the God of the atom? Hey, what's valence mean, Peter? And that has an interrelationship with the whole unit. And weight is what we actually weigh. Now, weight of an atom and a thing is a very, very minute thing. You know that God is the God of that? That God stands here that weighed everything in the balance? That's the judge? I wanted to tell you about him. I don't know if I can. I don't know. But someone's going to answer if I can't, because I was unplanned for weeks. You know, and I talked in my home to you, Rusty, and I'm talking about Bill. I talked to you, know what I'm talking about. Different ones sat there in my home when I spoke. But my feet were cut off. Never again. You tell me, ministries, you tell me that this great program of God cannot be nullified to a certain degree. Let me tell you this, brother, sister. It's dangerous to stand in the way of the ministry. They stood in the way of Brother Branham. I stand here without fear of contradiction. The prophet told me I'm the only living man ever put him forward that ever worked with him. He said no other man did. That's right. Why? Because I would not allow my name or angels to stand around him. I did my best to help him. And I'm going to stand here and tell you today, I'm not proud and I'm not angry. I'm just saying this. There's nobody going to get in my way from now on, because nobody will be around me. There'll be nobody come by and say, Brother Bale, I'll work with you. Or would you work with me? In honor, I preferred every man that came by. The first one came by and said, Brother Bale, I'm a pastor. Let me know. He knew I'd bring the people to him. I said, I'll work with you. The day came when he rose up and said, Brother Bale's in false doctrine. No way. No way. You can't have a testimony, spirit testimony of Jesus Christ and be a false doctrine. Now I want to ask you, where are lies going around the world today? I'm pinning things down. It's on the tape. I care less. We may delete that part. It's all right by me. The tape goes up. But I want you to know something. You may be here this morning thinking I'm fooling, but I am not fooling. I'm not fooling. It's down to the ground, down to the wire. Down to the wire. And I want it that way. I want to rise to the occasion of a faithful servant of Almighty God, but I will not stand for any more tomfoolery. See, it's just over. You went through too many battles and too much sacrifice and suffering too, what you went through. And they'll say a lot of things about you, but get this flat. All they can do is talk. All he can do is talk, because we stood with this Word. I don't care, commit adultery if you want to or anything else. We'll pick up and dust you off. But you leave this Word, you're shot. Now, it may sound funny to some, you're not quite, maybe up as in the field where we are here after all these years of knowing what we're talking about. In the last 2 years, knowing this, I've never known in my life what the things of God are. But I want you to know this. You may read the shell of Lee Vale. You may look and say, hey, that guy's completely out of this world. So that's fine with me. But you don't know what's down in here. What comes by that channel. And I've never failed to tell you, when you're sincere, I've never held one thing back from you yet. Not one thing. And I don't intend to. So that's how we're working from now on. No service this Wednesday. Next Sunday morning, we're going to start right in, going back over, why is he here? And we'll try to bring together many points and teach those very carefully as to why he's here. And you will hear some things being retaught. And you begin to understand why I taught them. Because many times things do not come together, even for me. Now look, I preach the sermons. I know I'm right. And I'm right on tap. Now there again, you think I'm boasting. Look, and I'm not trying to inspire confidence. I'm telling you, I believe. If you don't, I'm sorry. I believe. That's why I preach the way I preach, because I believe. I can't be changed unless something hits me over the head again. I just can't change it. I know what the prophet said is right in this Word, and I have found it time after time. I'm going to preach on it. There's no way I'll change it. As I said, as I told you, there's many things that I preach and I don't fully understand. And suddenly they just break you and they say, hey, now I know why I preached that 2 years ago. Now I know why I preached it 4 years ago. But now I know why I preached it just a few days ago. See, the time gap is coming closer and closer together. All right, let's just You just remain. We're going to praise you. Remain seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your wondrous word of life and truth which has been given unto us. And Lord, we do know that we do not loathe this manna. Lord, in fact, we are under a great conviction and almost one of desperation to the extent we don't know what to do with ourselves because we are not satisfied within ourselves that we are grasping and maintaining and bringing the life from it as we know it lies there. That how could even if we were 10,000 people standing here, how could we ever exhaust one word such as when you said, let there be light? It could be going on for 6 billion years for all we know, let alone 6,000. Could be 6 trillions of years. We don't argue any point there. But is there anybody who could apprehend it all? Is there anyone who could absorb it all? But no, Lord, it is the fact that the light being requisite at certain times in certain areas, we can utilize it. And we believe that is the truth. And there is this wondrous revealed word at this moment, which is coming clearer and clearer. And Lord, you must forgive us if we are hasty and a little bit nervous and unsteady in spots because it is not your will to just drop a great big chunk into our hearts and minds. And yet we would like it that way. But we know that the big chunk is to come when we become immortal, that there's so many more things to be revealed. So Lord, just may we understand this, that manna that came down, and there was enough for those who gathered little and those who gathered too much. It didn't do them any good anyway. Lord, may we realize that give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, this was our daily bread. Maybe an accumulation for a weekend Sabbath where it had to keep. Maybe it was, I don't know. But Lord, give us evermore. Day by day, break now the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the bread by Galilee. That's what we want, Lord. Healings and these things are wonderful, and we need some of that too. And your prophet did say that the sweet spirit would come into the church, and that coming into the church, it would be like healing gifts put on the shelf, and everywhere people getting healed, witnessing to the onslaught of life against death, overcoming it all, so men would not even die, and the dead come out of the grave. And we know that's just about upon us, Lord. So we can all take courage that, oh, just around the corner, there's going to be such wonderful healing it's worth waiting for. Such wonderful everything it's worth waiting for because we have it now already sown unto us. For the prophet said, thus it is said and thus it shall be. These things we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy. Again, Lord, if I've been too rough in spots saying things perhaps that are not too nice to say, forgive me, Lord God. Help me to learn to temper and the people to take it in the way it should be tempered. No unto the King eternal and immortal invisible, the only wise God be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I don't know how many are going to be here tomorrow, so it's going to be kind of rough. But it looks like the majority are kind of happy to have a little picnic and a little workout. Mostly a little picnic and big workout. So if you got scrapers to scrape some things like paint, you can bring it along, or burners like propane. You know, propane in a burner. We can burn some old paint off the windows out here and some nice shutters around the edges. We got some nice shutters. If we can get paint tomorrow, maybe Dawn, you could spray the shutters. Norm, could you pick up the table, a table or two down there at the church? They have phoned. They said we could have a table. You know, you could pick up a table, one of those big tables in the tape room down there. They'll give it to us. And bring brushes, bring cleaning rags, bring some window cleaner, not so much. Bring some wire brushes, a couple of them. We need a long ladder. Another one could get up there and take at least one more long ladder. You could bring a broom or two. And don't destroy the cleaning rags they got around here. I'm losing some again. They're hard to come by. We'll take them home and wash them out. Now, we want things done such as heavy-duty cleaning upstairs, getting that wallboard on there, on the stairway. We want to check the foundation for leaks. If anybody brings a pair of dirty overalls and feels like a mole, we got a hole for the mole. We're going to... He did that because, look, we can't have, you know, draft coming in. So there's a few things we need done. Bring some dirty clothes, and we'll check the foundation. And close off the upstairs so no more dirt comes down. And also think of a bit of furniture for Steve because he's going to be upstairs being our janitor. We just sort of messed everybody's life up around here. And poor old Steve, we got him upstairs and taking care of furnaces. And the least we can do is put a bed in there for him. We're going to get a table. He's got a stove. I think Bill's got a little old fridge somewhere back home. So we'll help him with furniture. And we got enough. I don't know if we got single bed sheets or not, Steve. We'll rip one down the middle for you. Have you got? Oh, great. Norm's our good Samaritan. So good, that'll keep him off the floor, because I just would think bad if somebody had to pick him off the floor. They'd It wouldn't look good for our high stand of virtue here. So, all right, some more. Now, what, I don't know how many's even going to come because I don't know. There's a bunch missing today. So how many? I just don't exactly how to prepare it. Well, you folk come, sure. That's good. You're welcome. But I'm in a bind here because I was going to treat you all real royally. I was going to bring my that brand new grill we haven't tried yet and start grilling some steaks on it. But I don't know how many are going to come. Could a whole house load come tomorrow? I come with 15 steaks and 40 people here. I can tell you one thing. I take my steaks back home. Or I can say, all you folk going to come, you get steak. The rest made a mistake. I mean, you know, I'm not hard to work with. It's just that everybody got me over a barrel, maybe. Maybe what we should do is to leave the steak program till another time when I know who's going to be around and just bring some kind of lunch or something. We've got some stuff on hand this trip, and next time we'll feed you better. Now, I'm not lying to you. I was prepared to go down and buy $100 worth of strip steaks. It's not that I'm a rich man. It's just that you people are good people, and I think you ought to be treated good. Now, you know I try to treat people good. My wife, she tries to outdo me. She'd have fed you loin to $6 a pound. Forget it. I'll go as high as $3.45 a pound, but no more. I've got to get three steaks, if not two and a little bit out of the pound. So I figured out, now I'll do that for you. I'm not lying to you. I'll be glad to do it for you, but I don't know how in the world I'd do it tomorrow if I don't know who's even going to be here. Now, if I was just sure you all be here, that'd be great. I could just wump up half the steaks and wump up North Mary. Of course, I'm the middle girl's going to come and worry. Going to miss the steaks. That's it, sure. I just want to know if I'm going to save steaks. Okay, we got three steaks we don't have to provide for. Well, now the next serious question is, does anybody know if anybody else is going to come tomorrow? I don't know about Jim. Jim's car's broke down or something. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we'll have to postpone it, I think, till everybody knows. Then before the fall comes. Look, there's another nice day coming up. Now, by the way, these cards are for anybody who wants to go to the Beaumont Tabernacle meeting. It doesn't mean that you've got a reservation you've got to pay for. But they'd like to know who's all coming in. So Jack sent me some cards. So I'll give these to you, Bill. And anybody wants them, you just... Whoopsie, microphone. Anybody that wants them then can have the... You know, you're welcome to fill it out and please put a stamp on and send it in. The rates are very reasonable. They're $26 single and $28 double, and those rooms go for $44. And that's a very good deal. There's an excellent breakfast there. I wouldn't eat anything but my breakfast there because there's other places you can go. If you like chicken, they've got a place called Popeye a few blocks down the road. They give you good chicken dinners they ever have for just very little. So those who are interested in going, maybe taking your carload or so, there'll also be a little money set aside down there to help some that, you know, need a little help. I don't know just how much, but I'll work with Jack on that so that any number of you can go down where you just try to plan for it, see what happens, and we're just letting you know now. It's a Thanksgiving meeting. Okay, that's right. Heavenly Father, as you go with us, we pray, guard us, help us, oh God. Keep us, Lord, ever moving toward that tree of life to immortality, knowing it is the one great thing. It's not sufficient, Lord, for me to stand here and tell this morning about the sincerity, the sobriety of the issue, to call attention to the fact of loving or loathing, but I myself, Lord, am on the spot, for by my words I'm justified, or by my words I'm condemned. If I say it, Lord, then walk away, then that's the end of me. That's the end of all of us, Lord, who ever do a thing like that. Or unless that person was saying it in a manner which was not as maybe as strong as would be indicated, just perhaps in anger or something, Lord, that was not meant. You know the hearts, oh God. I don't know hearts, but I do know one thing. It's a serious thing at this end time to want those things which are not set before us and to deny those things that are set before us. This much I know. God, help me. Help me, Lord, as never before. Help me, Lord, to keep myself free from all traps, the people free from all traps, knowing this, that we've been justified by faith, knowing this, that we stand blameless, knowing this, oh God, that your grace and virtue that you're doing has brought something into our lives that is so phenomenal that we just may blow us, Lord God. We don't believe for 1 minute that that's your purpose. We know, Lord, that we could just do things ourselves that would call a rebuke to us. But, Father, we want to walk so softly that we would be of those that you said, see, they are my people. I'm writing a book. Watch them. Listen how they talk. Father, tonight, this afternoon, we know that's the great secret. And so we conform ourselves to your desires within our hearts and our minds. Be it unto us according to thy word. And unto him who is eternal. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's just sing, We'll Walk in the Light there, Lord.